Hey, welcome back. So we'll dive right in. Last time we were talking about this DCM buck converter example as a means to begin examining how we can apply state plane analysis to some sort of switching converter. And we're focused here on this subinterval three, the main kind of large resonant interval. Or we'll have a significant amount of time with both switches off, with the circuit just resonating between the output inductor and whatever net capacitance we have at the switch node. Noted that this interval here, kind of during the time in between when the MOSFET shuts off and the diode turns on, is also a resonant interval, but it should be pretty short. We'll look at that one a little bit later. For the moment, we just want to focus on this interval three. And we ended class here kind of setting up, getting ready to draw our state plane, where we had said, okay, we found the DC solution, which will be the center of our state plane, found an initial point on it and the initial direction of our derivatives, and went through and kind of sketched the waveforms in the time domain. Now on the next slide, I'm going to go through and sketch those same waveforms on the state plane. So we'll take this result in the bottom left here, and then all we need to do is normalize these equations, which would be pretty simple because most of the values are zero here. So for our state plane, we'll take our DC solution, which was V switch is equal to V and IL is equal to zero. And then we're going to normalize that. We need to define some normalization parameters. So let's pick V base is VG. Again, V base can be anything you like. VG is going to make things a little bit easier than 5 volts or some other arbitrary voltage, but it would all work. And then once we pick V base, our I base is defined. It is V base over R naught or VG over R naught. R naught is the characteristic impedance, square root of L over C switch in this case. We take our DC solution and we normalize it. I'm going to put things on the J sub L, M sub C axes for my state plane. So normalizing, we're going to divide V switch by VG, and that'll give us an M sub C is equal to V over VG. And in the past, we've called this MDC for just our normalized DC voltage. Here, I'm just going to call it M. The reason being, this is kind of already defined way back when we were in 481, V over VG is the conversion ratio of the circuit, which we defined as M or sometimes M of D when we were analyzing PWM converters in 481. So in this special case where we normalize the output voltage by the input voltage, what we are getting is the conversion ratio, which falls out. Okay. When I normalize the inductor current, what I'll get is J sub L is equal to zero divided by I base. Nothing interesting going to happen there. It's still equal to zero. So our DC solution, we normalize it, and this gives us our center of the circular trajectory on the state plane. Okay. So I'm going to call that this point here, M on the M sub C axis and zero on the J sub L axis. So this is our center, which comes from the DC solution to the resonant circuit. Okay. And then we'll take our initial conditions. In this case, we're all zero. And we'll normalize those to get M sub C is equal to zero and J sub L is equal to zero. So from our initial conditions, we get our starting point on the state plane, which would be this point here. And then the last part was the initial conditions on the derivative, say r d by dt, initial values. We found that those were dv switch dt is equal to, we'll check, 0, and dil dt is minus v over l. And from these, what I'm trying to get on the state plane is just the direction that I should move around the circle. So as I normalize m sub c dmc dt, or as time moves forward, how is the voltage changing at time t is equal to 0? This is going to normalize to just 0, and our dil dt at time 0, say explicitly at t is equal to 0, 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 is going to be minus v over l divided by I base for figuring out the direction. I don't even care to write exactly what this is. I just know when I divide it by this quantity I base, I'm going to get something less than 0, meaning initially my, should be a j, excuse me, JL dt is less than 0. Initially, J is decreasing. Okay. So my circular trajectory is going to have its center right here. It's going to start right here. And initially, it's going to be moving in this direction, straight down, because I have 0 dm dt. So m, my horizontal axis, I'm not changing. And then I'm going down on my J sub L axis. Okay. So not so great at drawing circles, so I'm going to pull one in here. Here's my full trajectory. And if I just sit in this subinterval 3, after the diode shuts off, my state plane will just spin around this circle. We're going counterclockwise in this case. So that's the state plane from my center to my initial point. I can get this radius r of this circle, and that stays constant everywhere on this trajectory. One thing I might be interested in knowing is what is the peak voltage, which would occur as we spin around if we go to an angle of theta is equal to pi. I will be at this point here, a radius above my center, which means that this point is our m max is m plus r. So starting from the center, I go a radius above it. But I can also say that r, looking over here on the left, is equal to m, because it is the distance between 0 on the m axis and m on the m axis. So then this is also equal to 2m. From the state plane, if I denormalize that, what it would tell me is that Vmax is equal to 2 times really our conversion ratio, and then multiplied by V base. Our conversion ratio is 1/2. And then I multiply by V base, Vg, or Vmax is just equal to Vg. And this relates to a question that was asked last lecture back here. Did I intentionally draw this resonance to go exactly up to Vg? And the answer is yes. And this m is equal to 1/2 case. That's exactly what the peak will be. The peak voltage will go up to Vg. Okay, we solved it there. Conceptually, the reason is V is our DC solution. So if we start from zero energy in the capacitor, we're going to come up. We're going to resonate towards the DC solution, and then an equal distance above it as we go through this circle on the state plane. So since V is right in the middle, it means our peak is exactly at Vg. This is a special case, and we'll look at different values of M in the next couple slides. Okay. So that's our trajectory. Let's make a couple more comments on it. Some of the initial analysis we did in the introduction to the course, talked about this zero voltage switching idea. So in this converter, if I'd like to achieve zero voltage switching and have low switching losses, what do I want? Well, back to our circuit here, I want to turn on the MOSFET when I have 0 volts drain to source on it. The drain to source voltage is VG minus whatever is going on at the switch node. So I'd like to turn it on when the switch node voltage is VG. If I do so, there'll be zero energy stored in CDS. None of these capacitors get shorted out. I'll have none of this capacitive type energy loss. So for ZVS, I'd like to turn on M. Using now was the name of my FET. When V switch is equal to VG. I think about that on the state plane, this is the same thing as saying M sub C is equal to 2M, which is equal to 1. This point right here is 2M, M is a half, equal to 1 on my M sub C axis. So that means this point right here is the single point where I can turn on the FET and get zero voltage switching. If I turn on the FET anywhere else during this resonance, I'll have some amount of energy in that capacitor that gets shorted out. Some energy that gets hard charged into the other capacitors, some additional capacitive switching loss as a result. Okay. Because this is a trajectory that we just spin around multiple times, it means I do have multiple options for when to turn on that FET. If I wait an angle of pi on this state plane before I turn on the FET, I'll get zero voltage switching, or 3 pi, 5 pi, 7 pi, so on. Then I'm just catching the next resonant period. Okay. Let's say I can either turn it on here, or if I let this go longer, I could turn it on here. This resonance will continue. Any of these points could be options to turn on the FET with zero voltage switching. Whether I can do that just depends on resonance, the amount of power, whether turning on at that time, because that will change what my duty cycles are. If I end the period here, I'll have a different effective duty cycle. Depending on the load current, I may or may not be able to do that. There's a control method sometimes employed in this kind of DCM buck converter, often employed in flyback converters, called valley switching. In this case, it'd be more of a peak switching, but it allows the FET to turn on only at one of these times, which gives you discrete duty cycles that you can actually operate under. And then it just jumps back and forth between them. So it might do, you know, 2 periods turning on at this point, and then 1 period turning on at this point to get kind of an effective average conversion ratio close to what you want. Of switching loss minimization strategy. So ZVS can be achieved. ZVS switching times what I want to do is have the angle on the state plane, the amount of time I'm in this subinterval 3, be equal to pi plus n 2 pi. So I go pi to get to this point, and then I can go any number of times around this circle. And if I want to get into times, what I'll do is multiply that by, divide that by omega naught. Omega naught is 1 over root LC. All pi times square root LC is the first opportunity to turn on the FET with zero voltage switching, and then every multiple of that. Okay. One other thing I'm going to talk about conceptually here is what would happen if we included damping. Okay, so if I wanted to include things like the inductor resistance, the on resistance of the FET, et cetera, in my circuit model, because at this point we've approximated it as just this ideal LC and voltage source. And as a result, what we get is an infinite Q or a completely undamped resonant circuit. So every period, we have the exact same amplitude and we stick on this circle in the state plane. If I wanted to include any sort of resistance, any sort of lossy element in this, then we'd get some amount of damping. Now, the only resistances in this circuit are parasitics, RL, RON, which we want to minimize anyway for high efficiency. So they should be small and it should be very slightly damped. If it's heavily damped, we've got a lossy circuit and it's a bad power converter anyway. But they are still present. And if I included the effects of the damping on my waveforms, let's say damped waveform, what would happen is instead of being a constant amplitude, I would have something that kind of decreases, has an exponential decay. Slowly, the amplitude of this resonance decreases until it eventually converges at the DC operating point, the zero current in the inductor, and V volts at the switch node. On the state plane, what does that look like? Well, it looks like as the amplitude is gradually decreasing, that amplitude corresponds to the radius on the circle. So our damped case would do something like this. Avoid drawing over anything here. We'd get a spiral that kind of has a gradually decreasing radius until it eventually spirals in and steadies out at the DC operating point. Okay. Conceptually, we can think about this. If we were to go actually measure this on a circuit, we'd expect to see some amount of reduction of the radius over time. It shouldn't be as severe as I've drawn here unless we have a whole lot of resistance and a very inefficient converter. We are going to generally neglect the effects of damping as we use state plane analysis for kind of one valid reason and one practical reason. So valid reason is because we're going to be designing high efficiency converters, we expect that that damping is very slight and should be negligible. The more practical reason is this tool falls apart if we have these spirals. What's really nice about state plane analysis is everything is circular trajectories and you can just use basic geometry and trig to analyze things on this state plane. Once they become spirals, it's a bunch of math and it's no benefit over just solving the differential equations to begin with. So, my tablet just turned off. Please wait while we install a system update. This is bad news. I do not have an alternate means of annotating. Okay. Pause the Zoom recording. Sorry again about that. But we'll move on. Okay, so we're saying before everything shut off that if we include damping, we'll get this kind of spiral decay, but we're gonna really have to look at systems that are well approximated as undamped for there to be any merit of using the state plane analysis so that we can analyze simply on this graph and not have to come up with mathematical expressions for these spirals, which would be just as complicated as doing the differential equations. Okay. And then now related this question, where did M equal a half come from? That was just some operating point we decided, but now let's look at the alternatives. This was a special case and a special case for reasons related to what we just talked about here with ZVS. This is in some sense kind of the nicest case to look at because this resonance takes us exactly up to where the switch node is equal to VG and we can get zero voltage switching, but it doesn't go any above VG, which we'll find is going to be a problem if it tries to. The main reason is the high side FETS body diode is going to clamp things. Okay. So when M is not equal to half, what I've done is I've copied from our previous slides the ideal waveforms when V was equal to VG over 2 or M is equal to half here. And we sketched on top of this, okay, when M is equal to a half, we end up with this resonance. And I'm going to draw it a little bit different just for some variation. So I'll draw it like this. The how many periods exist in there just depends on how long this interval 3 is, how long before we turn the FET back on, versus what is the resonant frequency between C switch and L. So can be any arbitrary number in here until we define those two quantities. Okay. But that was our M is equal to half case. And it kind of resonated up and hit exactly, lines are a little bit off, but VG here. Okay. Which meant we had possible zero voltage switching at, for example, these two points. And if we can switch the FET on at those times, great. If M is less than a half, recall here with M, I mean both kind of our normalized output voltage to go on the state plane, and because we've selected V base is equal to VG, it is the conversion ratio of the circuit. So it means our output voltage is somewhere less than 1/2. And as we go to plot the state plane, that means our center is going to move somewhere lower. Our initial condition will stay the same, and what we'll get then is a lower amplitude resonance now centered around this new value of V. Okay. It's going to compress the amplitude of this ringing that occurs during this period. And what we're going to find is, okay, here there is no way to turn on, let's call this Q instead of M at this point so I don't confuse with the conversion ratio. When Q turns on at this time, no matter where that is in this resonance, we have no way to get zero voltage switching, and we'll have some amount of voltage that we short out on the switch node capacitance, depending on how we model it, but we'll have losses associated with either charging or discharging that capacitance. Okay. For M is greater than a half, let's do blue. Everything in our ideal analysis will stay the same. Now as our conversion ratio increases, V divided by VG is bigger than a half, so our output voltage is closer to the input voltage. And if we just sketch our state plane, it would look something like this. Same circle, its center would move out to the right, so the amplitude of the resonance is going to get bigger because it's still starting from the same initial condition at 0, 0. Okay. Problem with this is this trajectory tries to go up above VG. And if this voltage, V switch, tries to go above VG, it's going to end up being clamped by the body diode of our high side device. So everything up here will be clamped by body diode. Similar, if we go down to these other waveforms, the scaling is going to look the same. So if our M is equal to half case, looked like roughly this, then our M is greater than a half case will be a larger resonance, and our M is less than a half, be some smaller one.
The inductor current.
And because we'd be changing these slopes would actually change, but I'm gonna not try to redraw these other waveforms just so I can keep everything time aligned. So let's look at the state planes for these two cases. I'm gonna start with M is less than a half. It'll be a little bit more simple, but will lead to some insight about the operation of this converter. So when M is less than a half, this was our original case. M is a half, resonated out to one on the M sub C axis. So I'm kind of keeping the original trajectory that we had at the M is equal to half case on here in gray, just to see how things change. Now our center has moved down to somewhere M is less than a half, and I'll arbitrarily draw it at this point. But our initial condition is unchanged. Okay. So no matter what the conversion ratio is, the beginning of this interval occurs when the diode shuts off. So always the switch node voltage will be zero and the inductor current will have just hit zero. So the diode was conducting, which constrains the switch node voltage, and the diode only shuts off when this current ramps down to zero. So as we change M, our ICs are still zero. And then our expressions for the center, which comes from the DC operating point, and our initial values of the derivatives. Expressions aren't going to change. So everything we did analytically back here still applies. So my DC solution still occurs if V switch is equal to V, and my initial inductor current is still, its initial derivative is minus V over L. But what changes is those values, right? So as M goes less than the half, if we keep the same input voltage, it means the output voltage is dropping. Now got a higher step down in this converter. Okay. So we're gonna get the same kind of thing, just M has moved. We're gonna get this trajectory now. Our initial derivative is still negative, so we'll still be counterclockwise. Initial condition still at the origin. All that's happened is our center has moved to the left. Okay. So what can we say about this case? This point here remains the point when our switch node voltage reaches VG. Our call, as a reminder, V base is equal to VG. So M sub C is equal to one still means the voltage at that switch node is equal to the input voltage. This is our ZVS point, or more generally, regardless of current, we need to get the switch node voltage up to VG. We need to get MC up to one. Same thing in the circuit and in the normalized sense in order to achieve ZVS. Now our resonance is over here. We never get even close. So we can never get zero voltage switching in this case. The DCM buck only achieve zero volt switching for conversion ratios greater than one half. Okay. Can we say anything further about that? So here's our radius. Either way, our peak now is still two M, but that is now less than one because M is less than a half. Whatever this remaining distance is, depending on the operating point, is how much voltage is going to be shorted out on that capacitor. Okay. So our best case in this one, in this operation, would still be to turn on FET here. To minimize COSS loss, it'll still be greater than zero. We're still going to have some voltage on that capacitor when we short it out, but at least going to the highest peak voltage on B switch will reduce the amount of energy in it somewhat. But there is no way to get zero voltage switching here. We can kind of analyze that a little bit more generally by saying, what is the conditions necessary to be able to achieve ZVS? What we need out of our operation is that whenever we look at this peak operating, or this maximum value of M on this circle, which is M plus R, which is 2M, we need that to be greater than or equal to 1. Okay. Just conceptually looking at this trajectory, we need this point to go past 1, or at least get to it, in order to be able to achieve ZVS. So M plus R has to be greater than 1, otherwise our voltage never reaches VG, and we can never get zero voltage switching. So the ZVS condition for this DCM buck is M is greater than or equal to 1/2. M is V over VG, so we could say V is greater than or equal to VG over 2 if we denormalize. So if we want a large step down in this DCM buck converter, we can't get zero voltage switching. Tough. Okay. Showed a little bit in the introductory lecture. There are ways to get around this, one of which is to use a synchronous implementation, replace this low side diode with a FET, and allow us to ramp the current down a little bit further. We'll look at that and analyze the state plane of that in the upcoming lecture. Before we do so, I'm gonna go now and look at this M is greater than 1/2 case. And what we expect to see, M is greater than 1/2, our DC operating point will shift further to the right, expanding the circle on the state plane. And it'll now go well above 1 on the N sub C axis. However, the actual converter can't do that. If we try to go greater than 1, it's saying we're trying to send the switch node voltage above VG, and this body diode is going to turn on. Okay? So let's look at what actually happens there if we ran this case and let interval 3 just go forward. Okay? So I'm going to look at that here. Again, I'm keeping the original trajectory where the center was 1/2 and the M max was 1 on here in gray, just to look at how things have changed. But now for M greater than 1/2, again, kind of arbitrarily drawn right here. Here's the center of our circle. Here's our new DC operating point. It's at some higher voltage that normalizes to an M greater than 1/2 case. Because we are further from the same initial condition at the origin, we've got a larger radius, but again, of the same direction associated with this state plane. And this huge circle is what this resonant circuit would do. Okay? It would go and go up to a very high voltage, and it would follow what we drew in the time domain here. The caveat is that that circuit is a valid approximation of our DCM buck converter only during the time when both switches are off. And if this voltage goes up above VG, it'll turn on the body diode, and this is no longer a circuit that approximates what's actually happening. Once the body diode turns on, then this voltage is shorted to VG, this capacitance is shorted out, no longer have a resonant case. Okay. So what's that gonna look like here? I'm gonna draw, let's get V switch and I sub L versus time, and think about what's gonna happen in this converter. Okay. So we'll just draw here, all of this is this interval three. So kind of I sub L came down during the time when the diode was on and hit zero here. B switch was low because the diode was on. And then at this point, we have a resonant circuit. C switch, L, and V. Diode shuts off. And at least initially, what's going to happen is the same as we sketched before. Okay, we're going to begin resonating up. Inductor current's going to kind of come down. Switch node voltage is going to begin resonating. And it's going to go until it reaches VG. And it wants to be this kind of shape. But as soon as it reaches VG here, at this point, body diode of the FET turns on. Okay. So the inductor current is going to resonate accordingly. It's going to do something like this. This section on the state plane would be where this circuit is valid. We follow this trajectory around up until the point that we hit M is equal to 1. We hit that point, same thing over here, body diode on. And then after this point, this big circular trajectory associated with this circuit here no longer applies. Body diode turns on, in which case our circuit is VG. This body diode is on, we'll neglect the forward voltage or any resistance of it for the moment. L and still apply small ripple at the output. Okay. C switch is still here. But since it's shorted out, nothing interesting is happening with it. Just holds a voltage of VG across it. Okay. So this is really a linear interval, right? I've got a voltage of VG minus V applied across the inductor. That's going to cause its current to ramp up at a slope of VG minus V over L. Same as during the interval when we intentionally had the MOSFET on. And during that whole time, the body diode is going to be clamped on. And this interval will continue until whatever point the inductor current reaches zero, at which case that current, which was initially negative, holding this body diode on. Once it hits zero, the body diode will shut off again. Okay. So we can actually plot this over on the state plane. It's no longer a resonant circuit. So this kind of first section, we had some resonant circuit. And then we add a non-resonant interval where we just had a straight line approximation of the inductor current. Even though it's not resonant, we can still normalize what's going on with V switch and IL and plot it over here. Okay, V switch stays constant, locked at VG. When I normalize, I get 1. The inductor current goes from wherever it started to 0. So over here on the state plane, that would just look like a vertical line. Missed a little bit up to this M sub C is equal to 1 point. This interval alone, it doesn't really help us any to plot it on the state plane, but looking at it together with the resonant interval, allows us to have some more insight into what happens next. So at this point, when the body diode shuts off, we have the same circuit again. C switch, L, and V. It's again resonant. No device is conducting, assuming the MOSFET hasn't turned on by this point. But we have a new initial condition. Okay. So the trajectory of this resonance is going to change a little bit. Instead of being this huge circle, our initial condition is right here. We're going to have a smaller radius and a smaller secondary resonance. It's the end of our class time, so we'll have to stop there. I apologize for some of the technical difficulties. Hope those won't happen again, but we'll pick up there on Friday. Thanks, everyone.